All right, Don, this is so fun. I sent you a picture of a book that was very popular when I was in elementary school. Put the picture up for us. Okay, this is a book called A Treasury of Baby Names. I remember when my friend Lisa, she got this book, she checked it out of the library, and one recess, we sat around a bunch of girls, and I think we were maybe in fifth grade, and we found out you can actually look up your name in here and find out what your name means. So imagine, we're on a playground, a bunch of little girls, and we're looking up our names. So my friend goes first, and she looks up her name. Her name is Sarah, and I wrote these names down. Her name means princess. Mm-hmm. So of course, as a fifth grader, you're like, princess?
Wow, yeah.
Charlotte looked her name up next, and Charlotte meant petite, which,
okay.
Now listen, I was a very tall kid, so I was jealous of that name, and she was tiny, so it was perfect. She was petite. My next friend, Tiffany, she looked up her name, and Tiffany meant appearance of God. So I'm like, this is kind of cool. These names are awesome. Amy looked up her name, and Amy meant beloved. Now, I am so excited to look my name up because all of my friends have the best names ever. And so I get the book last. And I'm like, you guys, I can't imagine what it's going to be. And so I turn to the T's, and I'm looking up Tammy, Tamara. My birth name's Tamara. And I look it up. I go T, 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 T. I find it, Tamara. And my name, Palm Tree.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
It is true.
It's Hebrew.
It is Hebrew.
Yeah, yeah.
But a fifth grader, that didn't help me.
Okay.
I was devastated.
Oh, okay.
I wanted my name to be like the prettiest one of all or the most perfect child. Palm Tree. But the thing about this that makes me laugh is names are very important in the Bible. I have come to learn that as I've been studying Hebrew. And you want to know what names mean, specifically when it comes to the house of Israel. We have 12 names today that we are going to teach you about. And so you're going to for sure want to mark these in your scriptures. And the meanings, you don't need one of these books. They're actually in the book.
Yes.
Welcome to Jesus Christ in Scripture, Finding Christ on Every Page. I'm Tammy Uzalak Hall. This is my friend, Dr. Donald W. Perry. And we are so excited to get into the scriptures. So for sure today, grab something to mark your scriptures with and turn with me to Genesis chapter 29. Here's where we're going to start. We're going to go to Genesis 29 verse 32. That's the first place. And now, Don, teach us about significant names in the house
okay.
of Israel.
I must set it up, give some background
okay.
first.
Perfect.
The naming of the 12 sons constitute what we call word plays. Now,
okay.
I'm going to describe or define a word play in a minute. It's like a pun, P-U-N.
Okay.
But more importantly, there's a word play in Matthew for the sacred, exalted name Jesus. We're going to conclude with that one.
Oh, great.
So first, let's look at some simple word plays in English.
Okay.
The tallest building in town is the library. It has thousands of stories. I used to work at a calendar factory, but I got fired for taking a couple of days off of the calendar. She had a novel idea at the library.
Oh, that's a good one.
So there are dozens of word plays in the Hebrew Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look at a handful today. Let's just look at this one. For example, this is Genesis 2:5, and a lot of these get lost in translation. But you notice there's no man, and the word for man is Adam or mm-hmm. Adam, to work the earth, and the earth is a feminine form of Adam, to work the Adama. So it's a little word play. It's a famous one.
So Jacob, who also is known as Israel, his name gets changed, had a prominent family in the Old Testament. He had four wives, Leah, Rachel, and those were sisters and daughters of Laban, and their maidservants, Bilhah and Zilpah. Together, Jacob and his four wives had 12 sons and one daughter. Okay, so this is my party trick.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Yep.
It's the one thing I can do. I can name all 12 sons without looking.
Okay.
We have Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
I'm impressed.
Thank you.
And who's the daughter?
Dinah. Let's not forget about her.
I'm impressed.
Okay, now, this is so important because we have a picture I'm going to show you. It's my favorite way to teach the house of Israel. So Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Here are the 12 that we named and the order of their birth. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Dinah's the sister. This is the house of Israel right here. So anytime you hear house of Israel, I want you to imagine this in your brain. And then you're going to add a little bit to it, which we talked about in the Abrahamic Covenant episode, which is this is also you. And that means you get to have all the blessings that were promised to Abraham, the blessings promised to Isaac, the blessings promised to Jacob. They're yours too. So it's really important to understand this. When you hear anything about the house of Israel, our goal is that your ears perk up and you think, oh, that means me. Like I have something to do with the house of Israel. Because Don, I'll be honest, for my whole young adult life until I became a seminary teacher, anytime I heard house of Israel, I literally thought it was a house in Israel that some guy lived in named Gary, and we were going to meet him someday. Like, I didn't even know what House of Israel meant for the second coming. So let's read this quote by President Nelson as it applies to the House of Israel.
We are also the children of the covenant. We have received, as they did of old, the holy priesthood and the everlasting gospel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are our ancestors. We are of Israel. We have the right to receive the gospel, blessings of the priesthood, and eternal life. Nations of the earth will be blessed by our efforts and by the labors of our posterity. The literal seed of Abraham and those who are gathered into his family by adoption receive these promised blessings, predicated upon the acceptance of the Lord and obedience to his commandments.
So this is us. We are part of the house of Israel. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, Don, so teach us about the house of Israel and why their names are so important.
We're going to look at all 12 sons' names and how they were named. But first, I have a friend who had a lot of children, and he has a little joke, and I'm going to use it about the 13 children. So how many children? One daughter and 12 sons. So here's how he would say it. I have 13 children, all daughters, but 12. And he did that all the time, and people stopped. Did he just say that? Did he say it right? It was just kind of funny.
All daughters, but
12. So the first one is Reuben. The meaning is something like this. Look, a son. All 12 sons have a wordplay, and they were named in some connection with something that happened at birth. So Leah bare a son. She called his name Reuben, and she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon me. And that's what his name means. Look, a son. The Lord looked upon me and she had a son. Did I explain that okay?
Absolutely.
Because I've got 11 more to go.
It does. And the cool thing about this, so in my scriptures, when in verse 32 specifically, I circle, so we have Reu and then Ben. So Ben in Hebrew means son. So I circled Ben and connected it to son. And then Reu, or the verb for to see, is where we get that. And so right there, I connected that to look. So you can see how the names are in that verse. And that's what's so cool. So I've connected with lines in my scriptures. It's a mess, but it makes sense to me. So Simeon is a great one because it comes from one of my favorite Hebrew words and one that our prophet, President Nelson, has talked about, which is Shema, and which is to hear. And so right here we have Simeon. Teach us about that.
So Leah bare a son, and then she says, because the Lord hath heard, and his name means hearer. The Lord heard, I might call his name hearer.
Yep.
Or Simeon. Next one is Levi. His name means joined. And Leah says, my husband will be joined to me. So I'm going to call this son joined, or Levi. Next one is Judah. Mm-hmm. His name means he will praise, or maybe just praise. So Leah bare another son, and she said, I'm going to praise the Lord, and I'm going to name this child praise.
So now we're in Genesis chapter 30, and we have the son Dan.
Dan,
in verse 6.
His name means judge.
Yep.
Bilhah bare a son, and Rachel said, God hath judged me, therefore I'm going to name this son judge.
Mm-hmm.
So judge Dan. Next one is Naphtali, which means my wrestling. This is a little controversial, so I included the lexicon.
Right.
This is the mother's name, Bilhah, who is Rachel's maid. She bore a second son, and then Rachel said, with great wrestlings, I have wrestled, and I'm going to name this child my wrestling, Naphtali. Next one is Gad. His name means fortune or troop.
Mm-hmm.
Means both things. And one of my students years ago, his surname was Gad.
Oh, cool.
And we talked about it a lot in class. Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son, and Leah said, a troop cometh. So I'm going to name him Troop or Gad in Hebrew. Next one is Asher. His name means happy or blessed. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called her child Asher, which means happy or blessed. Issachar, this is another questionable one. There is recompense. Leah bore a fifth son and said, God has given me my wages, or recompense. So I'm going to name this child recompense, Issachar, in Hebrew. Zebulun, probably, we're not positive, comes from a root meaning to exalt or honor. So Leah bore Zebulun and said, now my husband will honor me. So I'm going to name this child honor, or in Hebrew, Zebulun.
Neat.
That's cool. We
it
got
is.
Two more.
Okay, let's do them.
Okay, Dinah, there's no connection. We don't know, but it's a feminine form of Dan in Hebrew. Afterwards, she bare a daughter and called her name Dina or Dinah.
That's interesting.
So I don't know. Number 12 is Joseph.
Okay.
His name means he will add. And Rachel bare a son, and she called his name Joseph. And she said, the Lord shall add to me another son. So she named him, he will add, or Joseph.
And then what about Benjamin?
Okay, we can't forget about Benjamin.
The youngest.
Rachel, when he was born, remember she passed away shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
As Rachel's soul was in departing because she died, she called his name Ben-Oni, which means son of my sorrow.
Right.
But the father changed it from Ben-Oni to son of the right hand.
Yes.
And that's literally what it means. Ben is son, Yamin is right hand.
So Jacob's wives and the naming role. Now, this I love this part of their names because the women gave the names to the children. The mothers typically named their children, reflecting their feelings or circumstances at the time of birth. These word plays link the name directly to the mother's experiences. And you see this a couple of times throughout the scriptures. Like, I think of Ruth and Boaz. When that child was born, they let the women of the village name this child. And they spoke to Naomi about what to name their child.
And it reminds me of Isaiah chapter 7. It's around verses 14 through 17. And it says, behold, a virgin. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it virgin? I'll give you some text about it.
Okay.
We'll talk about it. Shall conceive, and she shall bear a child, and she will name him Emmanuel.
Wow.
So she does the naming.
And how cool that name is God with us. And she knows that in her naming
God
of that child.
Us.
Wow. Neat.
So Jesus descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Matthew chapter 1. And the book of Matthew is written in Greek. At least we have Greek manuscripts now. There's a word play in Matthew 1:21 when we translate it back to the Hebrew. So Gabriel says to Mary, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. The angel informs Joseph, and she will bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, Jesus, translated in Hebrew, is this word, Yeshua, for he shall save, the same root. We're going to call him salvation because he's going to bring salvation or save his people from their sins.
Yeah. Going back to this idea right here, I just think about when you're about to have a child, there is thought that goes into naming that child. Did you think about what to name your children with your wife, Camille?
Yes, absolutely. All six children.
Yes, like you throw out names and you wonder, what should we name? And I think of this moment from Mary's perspective where she finds out she's having a child. Oh, and by the way, here's what you will name it. I just wonder if at any point did she and Joseph say, well, we'd really like this name instead, or a family name. Maybe they thought of a family name.
Good point.
Something that they'd want to name. And yet the angel says, oh, you're going to name him Jesus.
Yes.
And one of the things that I learned is that Yeshua, at the time of Mary and Joseph, is the name also would have been the name Joshua. Is that true?
It's very similar.
Very similar. Yes. And so maybe they thought, oh, okay, maybe that's the name. But to understand the Hebrew understanding of it, then you say, oh, his name will be salvation. His name will mean salvation. And I just wonder if Mary fully understood or knew what that would entail at that moment. It blows my mind.
I wonder too.
It's so neat.
Yeah. There are a lot of word plays in the Book of Mormon that go back to the Hebrew, and they're a lot of fun. Here's one example of many, and this example occurs when the people of Anti, Nephi, Lehi sought refuge with the Nephites. And this land, Gershon, and we think the word Gershon comes from the Hebrew root Yarash. Mm-hmm. The J is a Y sound in Hebrew, Y. So Yarash, which means to inherit. So this land inheritance
is
the land which we will give unto our brethren for an inheritance. I think there are three passages that support this this view. I'm just giving it a quick look.
I like this wordplay from the Book of Mormon. You cover these in your book, Preserved in Translation,
which is so
much fun to go through. There's a lot of wordplays in the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, there are.
Wow, very cool.
And they're very powerful.
And it's important to know because we're going to see more throughout the Bible. I mean, there is a lot of word plays in the Old Testament, and we just covered the names of the house of Israel. And so consider that as you're talking about this week, about the word plays and maybe your own word play. Is there something significant about your name? I think it's kind of funny because as you were talking about the word plays, I thought, what would I have named my children if I had named them about what I was going through at the time?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of my kids would have been named Cheese.
Oh.
I ate a lot of cheese with one of my kids. I don't know. I just think it's great. And I love the idea that women were able to choose the names. That is so significant. So study these names and study the storylines and just kind of think about what these women were going through at that specific time in their life to name the child that they named it. And then later on, you can read in Genesis chapter 49, their patriarchal blessings and what their father had to say to them before he passed. And so that is really awesome to think about how that name plays into those blessings. So we hope you enjoyed this episode of the different names of the house of Israel. Have a great week. Shalom and goodbye.